Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive, formerly Kingdom Builders Christian Center, located at 3100 Trotter Road in Columbia. And now, a message from Pastor Norman Curley.
I believe you will agree with me that nothing else matters if we don't have love down. Now, up to this point, we have responded to what I call transformational questions, questions that not only cause me to think, but questions that cause me to ask myself, how am I doing in this department of my life? And that is, can I love like Jesus loved? That is the ability. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Another, will I love like Jesus? This has to do with my attitude. 1 John 4:18, whoever does not love does not know God because God is love. Why should I love like Jesus loved? That's my motivation. 1 John 4:11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And how can I love like Jesus loved? That is my demonstration. That's my actions. 1 John 3:18, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions in truth. And so out of that, we talked about the attitude and motivation of divine love. Now, divine love is what keeps everything else intact. We said the difference between divine love and worldly love is this. Divine love is Christ-centered. Worldly love is self-centered. Divine love is unconditional. Worldly love is conditional. Divine love functions out of a spirit of humility. Worldly love functions out of a spirit of pride. And then we transitioned on and we talked about the light of love, and we looked at the case of the rich young ruler and how he made three mistakes in his life. One of them, he had formed his own opinion of what love for God entailed by what? Keeping the law. That's not love, because you just say, I do this and I do that. Another thing he did, he was not willing to work on the one thing Jesus confronted and counseled him on. And he didn't realize that the serving and sacrifice we do now, God's going to reward us later. That young man made the worst decision in his life to walk away from an invitation that Jesus gave him personally to come into the kingdom of God and to be willing to follow Christ. He loved money so much that he would not depart from the spirit of greed to follow Christ. Now, in the world, when we use the word love, automatically people associate love with good and not evil. Joy and not pain, happiness and not sadness, honesty, not dishonesty. However, when our experiences communicate the downside of love, I want you to grab this. The downside of love, we as believers must yet obey the word of God and be willing to be committed to walk in love regardless of the suffering that may be associated with it. And so that's what I want to talk about today, the downside of love. The downside of love is not to imply there is anything negative about divine love, but to bring to light the reality that God's love is not like the love expressed in this world. Neither does it function through natural ability or power, but it's a love that releases supernatural power that denies darkness and evil brought against it to conquer and prosper. Whenever you operate in divine love, God has your back. When you operate in divine love, God is going to give you a supernatural anointing to do that. And even though it may look like a person is getting the upper hand on you, even though it may feel like you are being disrespected or disregarded, God has something at work that you cannot see or feel. When you commit yourself that no matter how evil they may be, no matter how wrong they may treat me, I'm going to stay committed to divine love, you are releasing an anointing of supernatural power. God will never allow you to fail if you walk in divine love. God will never allow you to be put to shame if you said, I'm going to walk in divine love in this situation. They may be lying on me. They may be talking about me, but I am not going to render evil for evil. I'm going to stay true in my relationship with God. Because it is natural for the flesh to do this. If you're going to treat me like this, then I'm going to act like this. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But as a believer, you got to understand that God has called you into such a relationship with him that there is not another person. I don't care if you're married, you got parents. There is not another person that has that place in your heart that God has. The downside of love is when I may have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And so often we hear that at funerals. We think that's a funeral. No, that's not a funeral song. That's a song for somebody living. The shadow of death, it did not say, though I walk through death, though I walk through what? The shadow. A shadow is what? An image, but it's not the real thing. And in life, sometimes you could be going through something that literally seems like death pain. The psalmist say, I will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. And so the downside of love is that there may be some suffering. There may be some discomforting situation that I may have to go through and yet be committed to exercise God's love in that situation. It's why you may say it's not fair. You may feel like this ain't right. But you got to remember, the weapons of your warfare is not carnal. You don't fight with human flesh, but you got a mighty weapon. Then when I thought about this, I thought about the person in the Bible who walked this out better than anybody I see in the scriptures is Jesus Christ. Jesus had to experience the downside of love. And it was at one of the most crucial moments in his life when he was headed toward death. So turn with me to Luke chapter 23. I want you to just look quickly with me, because Jesus become our example of how we can continue to release the supernatural power of God through his divine love, even when we're experiencing the downside of love. See, people get saved and become Christian. They think, especially when they're around other Christians, that everybody's supposed to treat them right. Some of your worst blows are going to come from fellow believers. I'm just being real with you. And that doesn't mean they're bad people. They're just like you. They're imperfect. Luke 23, look at verse 1 through 5. This is when Jesus was heading toward the cross. The Bible says, then the whole multitude of them rose and led him to Pilate. Now, they're taking Jesus to the authorities. Why? Because they want to get rid of him. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. They're making up lies on Jesus. Then Pilate asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? He answered him and said, it is as you say. So Pilate said to the chief priests in the crowd, I find no fault in this man. But they were the more fierce, saying, he stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place. Jesus shows us here that the first thing that has to happen is this. Love enabled him to endure the pain in the process. Pilate, the authority of the land, said, I find no fault in him. He's not guilty. The charges that you are bringing against him don't have no fact. There is no validity to these charges. He's not guilty. But the people did not accept that. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said to them, you have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod. For I sent you back to him. And indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. This is what he decided to do. I will therefore chastise him and release him. In other words, I'll just beat him a little bit and let him go. If you notice in verse 1, the people who's lying on Jesus, the people who are bringing these charges to Jesus, are the same people who used to praise Jesus, are the same people that was at his miracle meetings looking for Jesus to bless them. And now they flip the script. Young people call it this. They are fake friends. These are deceivers in verse 1. Even the Roman governor desired to see a display of miracles Jesus was known for. If you look at verse 8, listen to what the Roman governor said when he heard that Jesus was coming before his authority. He said, now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him. In other words, Herod always wanted to meet this guy. He had heard all about the miracles and things that Jesus was doing. So Herod was looking forward to meeting Jesus. And the Bible says, because he had heard many things about him and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. In other words, Herod say, I'm looking forward to meeting this guy. I heard all of these rumors about it. And when he comes, I'm going to ask him to do some miracles in front of me. People that are close to you can hurt you the worst. Why did they change their attitude toward Jesus? Simply this. These Jewish people, they were following Jesus, thinking and believing that Jesus was going to overthrow the Roman government and that the Jewish nation will be in charge like it was in the days of David. That's why they put him on the position of making him a king. Why? They wanted to get a king in place so that they no longer would be under the rulership of the Roman government. And Jesus, at this point in his ministry, is showing them that I did not come to establish a physical kingdom. I came to die and give my life as a ransom. They didn't like that. Can you think about that? All this hope you had of following this person so you can enjoy this position of power and rule of a nation, and all of a sudden the person letting you know, okay, I'm getting ready to die. So now they have no hope to be the ruling authorities. They no longer honor him. They want him out of the way. Another thing I noticed is people who didn't like one another, they even came together to persecute Jesus. Look at verse 11. Listen to verse 11. All this is Jesus heading to the cross. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. You know what Herod did? Herod made him look like a king, but treated him like a slave, mocking him, making fun of him. But look at verse 12. That very day, Pilate and Herod became what? Friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate and Herod, they didn't get along. They didn't like one another. They were two men of authority over these particular people. But they came together to be friends to hurt Jesus. You got to be able to love and endure the pain of that process. You'll be amazed that sometimes believers are in a situation where they're suffering, where they're putting up with things and having to go through stuff and yet still trying to exercise their faith. How many know that's the downside of love? And sometimes they be like, God, how long do I have to keep putting up with this? That's where that endurance come in. David had that experience in Psalms 109. These were friends of David that had sat at his table, ate bread with him, fellowship with him. And get this, their hand was there, but their heart wasn't there. You got to watch out for people like that, whose hand's in, but their heart is not in. And so in Psalms 109, listen to what David said. David said, in return for my friendship, they accuse me, but I am a man of prayer. You know how David handled that? David said, my friends betrayed me. They lied on me. They talked behind my back. Now, these are supposed to be friends. But David said, I decided that when I heard what they had done to me, I gave myself over to prayer. That's how you endure a difficult, painful process and walk in love. You have to give yourself over to prayer. If your prayer life diminishes, you will be more vulnerable to go after anger, hatred, bitterness. Yeah, it'll happen to you, Christians. Get that stuff in their heart. But your prayer life is what's going to keep you enduring. In Psalms 109, verse 5, listen to what David said. And the Bible says, and they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for love. Now notice, David said, I gave them love. I showed them love. They responded back with hatred. I treated them good. They responded back with evil. How many know it takes divine love to do that? Because human nature going to want you to do what? Get somebody back. Listen to 1 Peter 3:9. Listen to what the Bible says. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with what? Repay evil with what? Blessing. Because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. Notice, the Bible says that in that situation where people are treating you evil, don't give them evil back. They are, get this, they are putting their mouth on you. They are talking about you behind your back. Don't you talk about them behind their back. Why? Because God has a blessing he's bringing to your life. And if you act like them, you can abort your blessing. If you get down to their level, you can block your blessing. God say there's a blessing waiting you. So don't give up. Be humble. Trust God that he's going to even the wheel. But even in 1 Peter 3:9, look at the 1 Peter 3:12. This is how he was able to do it. For the eyes of the Lord are on who? The righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. Listen, you got to be a person of prayer. If you're experiencing suffering and persecution and people doing you wrong, you got to realize if I don't pray, I'm vulnerable to begin to act just like them. That stuff hurts, saints. Listen, you're saved. You have the Holy Spirit. But that hurts when people lie on you. When people said they were your friend betray you. When people stand up and say all this stuff about you behind your back, they're a different person. It hurts. Look to your neighbor and say, it hurts. But then you got to know how to endure that thing. And you got to know how to let divine love rise up on the inside of you. And you got to keep your prayer life intact. Why? Because God's got a blessing for you. Look at Judas. Judas got his hand right on the cup that Jesus was drinking for, but his heart wasn't there. Sometimes people are just with you for the ride or what they're going to get out of it. So Jesus shows us the downside of love. You got to be able to endure some difficult times and seasons. Now, it ain't going to be this way all the ways. God's going to bring a breakthrough, but he may have you to go through the process. Another thing about I noticed about Jesus is that love enabled him to trust the Father's plans regardless of others. See, when they were doing all this stuff to Jesus, Jesus had to look beyond what they were doing and realize the Father had a bigger plan at hand. And so if you notice in verse 17, the Bible says this, for it was necessary for him to release to them at the feast. So at this Passover, at this feast, the governor had the right to release a prisoner. That was the custom of that time. And they all cried out at once, saying, away with this man, talking about Jesus, and release to us Barabbas. Barabbas is a notorious criminal, and they know that, and they know he's guilty. And here is Jesus, that he's not guilty, but yet they're saying what? We want Barabbas released and not Jesus. In verse 19, who had been thrown in prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Get this, look at Barabbas' record. He was a murderer. He had started a riot. And yet they say, give us him. They weren't really focusing on Barabbas. They had such hatred for Jesus that they just want to see him hurt and suffer. How many know that's what your enemies desire to see happen in your life? They want to see you fail. They want to see trouble in your life. In verse 20, it says, Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them, but they shouted, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Then he said to them the third time, why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one that they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Jesus was innocent of all charges. And the governor, Pilate, knew it. But Pilate went against the law to give the people what they wanted. So that tells me right there that the Jewish people had some kind of influence even over the Roman authority. That they were willing to say, we are going to disregard the facts and we're going to give them who they want to crucify. Sometimes you're going to have to just look beyond what you were going through and see God. Let me say that again. You're going to have to look beyond what you're facing and see God. You're going to have to look beyond who's in front of you trying to do things to you and see Jesus. And see, what they don't understand is they think they are hurting Jesus, but they are helping Jesus. Let me say that. They think they're hurting Jesus, but they are helping Jesus. How are they helping Jesus? They are helping Jesus to fulfill his purpose in the earth. Listen, when people try to work against you, they are literally helping you to get to where God is trying to take you. That's what Romans 8:28 comes to play. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. There's some bad stuff that may happen to you, but God's going to work it with the good stuff. That's the Christian journey. To be in Christ does not mean everything is nice and everybody going to treat you right. To be in Christ, you can be a target that the world will come at. Jesus had to suffer. Jesus had to go through this process First of all, he gives us a living witness. If they did it to Jesus, why shouldn't they do it to us? If they lied on Jesus, why shouldn't they lie on us? If they talked about Jesus behind his back, well, they'll do it to us. Acts 17, 1 through 3, listen to this with Paul when he went to preach in this area. He said, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on 3 Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that what? Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is Christ. See, sometimes in church, we don't hear nothing about suffering. Everything is about promise. We don't hear nothing about pain. Everything is prosperity. But when we go back to Jesus, we got to remember everything has to be balanced. And in this life with Christ will be some suffering. And the Bible say Jesus had to suffer. And you and I, listen, in this world, we will have to go through certain things. Christians can't even get sick now without people making them think you let the devil in. I'm just serious now. Oh, I saw Pastor at the doctor's office. Duh. If my car needs tires, you'll see me at the tire place. I'm just showing you. These bodies are not perfect. So when we have to go get them checked out and get this checked up, that's okay. So we got to be careful, because Christians, when they go through something that looks like suffering, they got to hide from the church. They got to stop coming to church. They go around there, they go on their job, around their co-workers, they fine, but they can't come to church because I'm going through something. The Bible say Jesus had to suffer. There's some things you got to go through to get through it and to grow through it and to be humble. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. So when Paul preached a message like this about Christ suffering, somebody said, well, who want to go to church to hear about Jesus suffering? We want to hear he's the head, not the tail, all this stuff. Yeah. Listen to what happened in verse 4. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of chief women, not a few. Notice, chief women, women that were in charge. They didn't just have the poor and the downcast coming to believe. There were some renowned people who heard about Jesus and how he handled suffering and how he was willing to go to the cross and how God raised him from the dead. And even those people, what? Believed on Christ. Saying, stop thinking you got to water down the gospel to get young people saved. Stop thinking you got to water down the truth in order to get young people born again. Just preach the word. The Holy Ghost will do the same thing in their heart that he does and does in ours. The power's in the word. Paul preached the word. Those people got saved. The last thing I noticed about Jesus is this, is that love enabled him to forgive by exalting God's glory above his temporary experience. How did Jesus do this? Love. How are you and I going to be able to do this? Love. Listen, you can't forgive the pain that somebody else brought in your life except you have divine love. You may hear people say that don't know God, well, I'm just going to forgive them and all that. But I don't know about you. It takes God's power to release people from some pain they brought in your life. Because if you did it by your feelings, you would never do it. You got to know that when pain come in your life, it takes faith to say, Father, forgive them, and mean it in your heart. Because what you're saying is that the judgment that I think they deserve because of what they did to me, I'm writing it off because you wrote off mine. You that got that mental list in your mind of people that did things to you and you holding it in your heart, you got to write it off. Sometimes you got to verbalize. You got to say it out of your mouth. Father, I forgive so-and-so. I release them in the name of Jesus. That's faith. Yeah. Just like when you believe in God for healing in your body. All the symptoms may still be there. But you'll rise up in the morning and say, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I decree my healing. I have a covenant of grace. And in that covenant, the Bible say he sent his word and he healed me. All the symptoms can still be there. You can go to the doctor and every machine will show that everything is still there. But your faith is not in the machine. Your faith is not in the symptoms. Your faith is in the power of our almighty God. Hallelujah. And your mouth talk about the power, not the problem. Matter of fact, you don't go around telling everybody what they did to me anymore. Why? You wrote it off. You can't read it no more. You don't read it to people. Let me tell you what they did to me. Let me tell you. Get this. It's a blank page now. Because sometimes when people are harboring hatred and unforgiveness, they just have to bleed it off on everybody else. They want everybody else to know what they did to them. And now this person is forming an opinion of that person based on what? The blood you poured on them. You got to stop bleeding your blood on them and bleed the blood of Jesus. And tell somebody they may have done that, but let me tell you what the blood did. The blood of Jesus cleansed my heart from the hatred I had in me. Listen to verse 26. It said, now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simeon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren wombs that never bore and breasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? Jesus basically looked back at all those feeling sorry for him and said, y'all really need to feel sorry for yourself, because you all are going to go through a lot of suffering. He's talking to the Jewish people. You all are going to go through a lot of suffering. And if they did this to an innocent man, if they did this to me, just imagine what they're going to do to you. Saints, this is, the world don't like us Christians. And the Bible said the world don't really like us. If we're true Christians, if we stand for Christ, if we stand for righteousness, if we stand up in the culture and say, no, you cannot sit here and tell me that God has ordained for two men to be married. You can't tell me that. You can't tell me that God has ordained for two women to be married. Now, when you stand up, well, how can you say that? The Bible says it. We have to stand on issues that the world don't want us to stand on. And I'm going to stand on God's word. I'm just saying that the world don't like us, not because of who we are, but whose we are. We're children of God. They tell us we think our way is the right way. Well, Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. What are we going to do with that? Jesus didn't bring religions to the world. He brought a relationship with the Creator. Listen to this. I'm closing. The Bible say there were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Read verse 34 with me. Then Jesus said what? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. He was able to forgive them because he exalted God's glory above the temporary experience. And saints, we got to do the same thing. He gave them not only for what they had done, but for what they were doing. He said, Father, forgive them, while they were what? Still out there making mockery of him, taking his garment, throwing insults at him. He looked down and what? Father, forgive. Listen, you don't forgive nobody because you feel like it. You forgive them because you know what God said. Jesus experienced what I call the downside of love. You're going to have to know how to handle the downside of love. Everybody's not going to treat you right. Everybody's not going to be kind to you. And when you find out that when you name the name of Christ, you're going to become a target with certain people. But you're going to have trouble in this world. But be of good cheer. Christ have already overcome it for you. He set an example of the supernatural power that comes through divine love. It endures the pain in the process. It trusts God's plan above others. And it forgives by exalting God's glory above our temporary experience.
Thanks for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive, formerly Kingdom Builders Christian Center, located at 3100 Trotter Road in Columbia, where Norman Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each and every Sunday for 10 a.m. worship service, and at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, it's in the Word. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 695-1277. That's 803-695-1277. Tune in next time for the Word Alive broadcast.